So here's the deal. I'm starting to notice more people wearing spandex than I ever have before. I don't like spandex because it's like a second skin. And some people really shouldn't have a second skin. They should just stick with the first skin and see if they can figure that out first. I'm referring to people that are overweight. And let me tell you right off my little bat, I have nothing against overweight people. Donald Trump has something against overweight people, quite obviously, but I don't. I'm just saying you make certain fashion choices. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You make certain fashion choices. Tall people, really tall people, shouldn't be wearing vertical stripes. It makes them look like they're even taller. Wide people shouldn't be wearing horizontal stripes. It makes them look even wider. That's all I'm saying. Spandex does nothing for anybody. If you're very, very skinny and you wear spandex, you're going to look even skinnier. You're going to look like a rubber pencil. It's not good. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. If I can just convince you, one person at a time, not to wear spandex at all, I think our lives would be better. That's all I'm trying to accomplish here.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
Please don't.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you. I shouldn't be talking over somebody else talking. That's not very effective. And I apologize for that profusely. Hi, how you doing? Huh? What? Seriously? You bored? Is that what it is? You bored? Is that why you came here today? Because you're bored? Or did you actually look forward to listening to this program today? Oh, you got to figure that out because that makes a difference. Actually, it makes no difference at all. I'll take you either way. Come into my arms. Come on, give me a hug. Let's dance. Hey, so I'm watching TV yesterday. Ron, you seem to watch a lot of TV. It seems to be the thesis of a lot of your little radio bits. Well, I really do watch that much TV. When I was a child, I just watched and watched and watched TV. I'm a little bit older than some of you, and a little bit younger than others. My mother used to tell me to go to bed at 10 o'clock at night when I was a child. I was still in high school. My mother told me what time to go to bed, because that's what she did, and that's what I did. So I go to bed at 10 o'clock, but I wouldn't fall asleep. I would have the door closed to my room, and that was it for the night. My parents would not check on me at all. They really, once I was in bed, you know, they started partying downstairs or something. I don't know what they did. I have a feeling now that I do know, but then I didn't know. And at 11:30 in the evening, I would turn on my black and white television. Yes, I had a black and white TV. Not the color TV wasn't invented yet. I just didn't have a black, a color one. I had a black and white one. I'm getting confused. When I was growing up, a kid having a television set in his own room was amazing. And it was black and white because, I mean, that was fine. I'd wake up at 11:30, I'd turn on the TV, I'd keep it really, really low. I'd sit right in front of the set so I didn't have to put the volume very high. And I would watch The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. And that was the highlight of my day. Yeah, that's what I did. My parents never knew. They don't listen to this show, so I'm good. So I've always been into television. Always, always, always. It was my guilty little pleasure, and I watch just about everything. I watch everything, but I watch nothing. My friends say, hey, Ron, you watch a lot. My friends, I've used that expression too loosely, I assume. My acquaintances say to me, Ron, you talk about watching television so much, yet when I mention a show, you don't even know what the show is. That's correct. Because when I watch television, I flip around. I change channels continually. I have the attention span of a hummingbird. I can't watch anything for an extended period of time. To me, a half an hour situation comedy on television is like forever. Let's resolve it, please. It's been 28 minutes. Please resolve. I'm really bad at that. When I go to the movies, I look at my watch at least 10 times. No matter how good the movie is, I'm always glancing down. When is this thing going to be over? I can't leave because I paid money to sit here. I'm not going to leave after paying money. But when's this thing going to be over? I do that all the time. I have a very short attention span. If I would leave any situation within 10 seconds, I would. Anyway, so I watch a lot of TV. So I'm watching TV last night, and I get a little intrigued with some of the commercials. And there's a new item that's phenomenal to me because it's so stupid and ridiculous. I can't believe they're actually selling it on TV. And the people that actually buy this, are you familiar with this little Roomba vacuum cleaner thing? It's a disc. It looks like a little UFO. It's a disc, and it's battery-powered, and it goes on its own. And you turn it on, and this little disc robot supposedly cleans your carpet all day long. First of all, I don't think I want to live in a house where this little annoying disc is like flying around making noise and bumping into walls. I mean, I'm not into that. I mean, I know a lot of people that bump into walls not on purpose, so I don't want to see that on my carpet. I don't know anybody that owns one. Or anybody that would want one. They're like $400, by the way, you know. And if it works, then that's amazing. But I can't imagine it cleaning every single inch of your carpet because this little thing is just bouncing off of walls. I mean, like, seriously. So I'm watching TV, and of course it's grilling season. Everybody's talking about their grills. Grilling this and grilling that, you know, grilling eggs and stuff. I have no idea. Everything's being grilled, yeah. So I'm watching TV and there's a commercial and it's a new product. And here it's called GrillBot. Yes, GrillBot, GRILLBOT. You won't believe this. It's the Roomba vacuum cleaner, a smaller version. You put it on your grill top, you turn it on, and this thing cleans the grill automatically for a period of time. And it bounces off the side of the grill and cleans the grill and all that kind of stuff. I can see someone being like really lazy to the point where they don't want to vacuum their rug. But how lazy do you have to be not to take a little brush and clean like a 5-inch by 5-inch area with your brush? How long does that take? I mean, seriously, the grill bot. It's a tiny disc, goes on your grill, and just walks around the top of your grill and cleans the top of your grill. I'm not talking about the whole grill. I'm talking about the surface that you're grilling on, you know, the grill part. As stupid as that is, and it's certifiably stupid. As stupid as that is, it comes in 5 colors. I don't know why. It comes in black, which is what I would probably do because it matches the color of my grill and all the soot. It also comes in pink, purple, various shades of blue. and a white. Why the hell would you have to have it in different colors? Who's watching this thing? It blows my little mind. My mind is not that advanced anymore. Oh, it used to be really incredible. I used to remember everything. I could add and subtract and get into people's heads and make furniture move simply by staring at it. I mean, my mind was an incredible piece of work when I was growing up. Now, my mind is still good, but it's not winning awards anymore. Let's put it that way. No more trophies for my mind. Still, even when it was as sharp and even when it's dull, I can't wrap my mind around the GrillBot. I can't believe somebody actually said, hey, here's an idea. Here's a problem we can solve. I think the next thing they're going to have is the private part bot. And that's a tiny little disc. You push the button, you turn it on, and you put it on your crotch, and it satisfies you all by itself. You don't have to use your hands nor have a partner. And it comes in 5 different colors.
Have you ever wondered how Ron Van Dam manages to sound so damn sexy podcast after podcast after podcast? It's simple. No pants. Ever. Pants are for suckers. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Pants-free podcasting at its finest.
Early in the show, I was talking about spandex and how I don't quite understand that. Here's something that would be very, very weird. Wearing spandex while you watch your grill bot clean the top of your grill, and you've chosen the purple grill bot, and you're wearing purple spandex pants. Wouldn't that be amazing? When I have fashion questions, I have a go-to person. Her name is Alicia. Wonderful person. She has her own line of fashion clothing in New York. She has her line of bags, tote bags and things. They're called, she's Alicia Carey. It's the Carey bag. She's amazing. She's an incredible designer. And when I have questions about these things, I go to her. She's my go-to girl. Let's speak to her right now. Alicia Carey joins us now. She's national fashion designer and, of course, the brains behind Couture by Alicia. I said that right, didn't I?
Yes, you did. The brains. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, you are. Okay. Hey, and we're talking about the fashion trends, as we do usually when there's a new season of fashion coming up. Has it changed like over last year's fashions for this time of year?
Yes, it actually has. To be honest, I always, lately just seems like Groundhog Day when it comes to fashion. It just keeps repeating. But this year there's actually some new things that I've seen and that I like, actually.
Okay, let's get into it. What's different?
Well, I think there has been a turn when it comes to women's fashion, a little bit more femininity, flirty, fun. For example, one of the hottest trends is the cold shoulder, and it's not the cold shoulder, me not talking to you at a party. It's the cold shoulder where the shoulders are exposed. Oh. So we're looking at off-the-shoulder tops, off-the-shoulder dresses, and the wonderful thing about exposing your shoulder, it's actually just a very sensual part of a woman, and most women are not afraid to show their shoulders because shoulders and necks are the rare parts that no matter what size you are, they can still make you feel sexy and you're not ashamed of your shoulders or your neck. So the décolletage area, the shoulders, exposing that makes a woman feel flirty and fashionable.
Yes.
And I just think it's fun.
It is. It's a very sexy look. There's no question about it. And if you have the cold shoulder on a date, and again, not the emotional part, but the physical part, that's turn on. There's no.
It is, right. It's yeah. without showing all the girls out. It's a great great calling card. You're just just a little bit at a time. Leave something to the imagination.
Yes, and that only works on a woman, by the way. That only works for women.
Well, it depends. If that's your cup of tea, then that's another show, though, Ron. But
yes,
still, it's for this particular cold shoulder. It is for women. For the second trend mm-hmm. I want to talk about is the bell sleeves, and that is literally what it is. It's kind of an imitation of the bell, and it's cute. It's also a very flirty look because usually the sleeve is just a straight sleeve.
Yes.
Kind of boring.
Right.
So they've kind of flirted it up a little bit with the bell. And the bell, in my opinion, reminds me of like a Dumbo ear. And they have they have small versions. They have medium. Or they're just big floppy versions, and I personally love it. It makes me feel fun just having the bottom of my sleeve kind of flop around.
Yeah.
I find it funny. I find it something like flirty. You can just wave at somebody with your sleeve blowing in the wind.
Yeah.
And I just really find it's romantic, and a lot of women are embracing it. Once again, you can see it in things like dresses, the end of sleeves. You can see it on some people do half sleeve, some people do the full sleeve bell, or some people do like a wide big bell, and it just with the off the shoulder. Sometimes they paired it with the cold shoulder and the bell.
Yeah.
So it's a cold bell. I'm just joking.
No, makes sense.
No, that's a different. You see what you made? You made me silly.
I apologize.
Sometimes you pair the two trends together, and the women are really loving it this season.
That sounds really nice. Okay. What else is are there like any crazes involved?
Yes, there is a sneaker craze, a fun sneaker craze. And the reason why I love this is because most people have about two or three, unless you're like a real sneakerhead.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, we see a lot of bold colors, reds, yellows. We see a lot of things like sparkles. A lot of people are wearing sliders in different colors. And it's really fun because they're using the sneaker as an accessory, like somebody would change out their earrings or even their lipstick, to fit their mood or to fit the outfit. They're using the sneaker in the same vein. So it's really fun. And you don't have to break the bank to buy, the latest and greatest. What you can do is just go to a national retail outlet and discount outlet and just buy these fun sneakers, canvas sneakers even, for $20. And, if you're wearing white, you can wear I don't know, gray, or you can wear, I don't know, with white, I'd probably pair it with something like green or red.
Mm-hmm.
The other day I was in all black and I wore a bright red sneakers. It's just a fun way to brighten up your accessory or to complete a look. And people are just having fun with it. And there's also platform sneakers for those men and women who want a little height. If you're, a little vertically challenged, it doesn't go up that high, about 2 or 3 inches, but you could still get some height with the sneakers.
Now what about colors? For different seasons, seems like different colors work.
Yes, and the colors this season are bold. I'm talking bold, brassy, beautiful, fun, exciting. Red is the new black this season. Orange is the new black this season.
I've heard that expression.
Green is amazing, and I'm not talking the soft green, the bright green, and pastels. not all, but pastel pink mm-hmm. is the favorite. That sort of baby pink. It's really a big, you see it in raincoats, you see it in blouses. It's really just a perfect summer color. And also, florals are in, and you see floral prints in everything from shoes mm-hmm. to bags to dresses. So everybody, the floral print is also, once again, throwing back to this season's trend of being fun, flirty, and fabulous. So it's good to see the floral prints. It's good to see the bold. It really does.
Now, I know that I see a lot of bags around as if, I mean, they're actually, it's not something that you carry anymore. It's part of your outfit, I guess.
Oh, yes. The bag, they're anchor pieces, I like to think, everybody has in their closet, which I feel personally that you should make an investment with. Anchor pieces are a good coat, be it a raincoat, be it a winter coat. Mm-hmm. An anchor piece is a good pair of shoes. I'm not talking just something that you see and you get, but something that is made well and that can carry you for a while. And also a really good bag. Now, bags are they're not your grandmother's bag anymore. Not that's an issue, actually, because they used to make them better back in the day. But these bags have different shapes, sizes, prints are on them, handles even have changed. One of the big trends this season that I actually have incorporated into my collection, the carry bag collection, is round handles. So, and the round handles give you a better grip, and it's sort of a geometric shape. You know, it's sort of that circle kind of gives you the ability to kind of hold it, and it just looks fun. And it gives you, you know, sometimes women don't have enough room to hold their bags. They have to carry them on their shoulders. The round one, you can carry it. You can make that grand statement as you step in like a princess or a warrior or whatever you're feeling on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Uh-huh. So the shapes have changed. The colors are also on the bags. Bags are not just black and white and brown anymore. People are making bold choices with the bags, including me. I have red bags, green bags, yellow bags. It's just fun. It's now, they are no longer something that's in the background. The bags have now become center stage. Yeah. So that's a fabulous thing for a woman. And by the way, men wear them too. Men like big bags too. Not the small clutches, but the big ones they use as weekend bags or, you know, or work bags.
Yeah.
You know?
So with men, it's kind of like it's a crossover kind of utility thing, but for women, it's like changing your shoes, I think, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Sometimes we do collect them. Women,
yes,
most
yes,
women
do. Yes,
do have, I'd say, let's just say, I call them throwaway bags, but that's just my word. I don't mean that they throw them away, but these are more sort of casual bags. Mm-hmm. But they tend to have two or three investment bags that they have, meaning these they've paid some money for and they take good care of them. So, yes, women have, I'd say, on average, three to seven bags in their closet.
It's interesting because, I mean, perception is kind of what we're talking about here. It's the way that you feel and the way that other people feel when they see you, the way that you dress and what you carry with you. And I would think that somebody that dresses in bold colors, does a fashion statement of some sort, I would actually look at as more of a fun person. That would be my impression without even speaking to them.
Well, you know, Ron, you are so wise beyond your years.
I don't know, you could be
living a second or third life. I knew somebody that said something to me a long time ago. She said you could take a look at the stage of...
Yep.
A person's, I guess, not their life, but their emotional state, excuse me, when you see the colors. She said somebody in all black, there's a darkness connected to their spirit. And somebody who's always in colors or prints, there's a happy spirit inside that body. And I do believe that too. And with fashion, there is really no rules. Mm-hmm. There used to be rules, no white before Labor Day or after Labor Day, whatever the rule was. Now, I wear white all year round, everybody. So for me, you're right. I do try to incorporate sometimes color in what I'm doing, because yes, a colorful, even if it's a colorful sneaker, mm-hmm. that is like putting a little bit of sprinkles on your cupcake, if you will. That gives you a little bit of a happy boost. So you're right on the money yeah. when it comes to people who make these fun decisions when it comes to their clothing. It is connected to their state of mind, if yeah. you will.
What about people that don't have perfect bodies, at least in their mind they don't have perfect bodies? What do they do with all this information?
Oh, it's for them too. I mean, a bag, you don't have to be any size. Mm-hmm. A coat, you don't have to be any size. As a matter of fact, Ron, the larger, fuller figured, curvier woman is also at the front. She's no mm-hmm. longer in the background wearing, you know, a muumuu or what have you.
Yeah.
Lane Bryant, oh, so many designers. There's Ashley Graham is one of the a really top full figured model that was on the cover of Vogue. Full figured women are out. They're sexy. Uh-huh. They are wearing the exact same thing that a woman who's a size zero is wearing. Mm-hmm. But their shape. As a matter of fact, I love full figured women. You know why? For me, they seem to exude more confidence.
Mm-hmm.
When a full figured woman or curvy woman is in her outfit or clothes or whatever, there's just a presence with her that I sometimes get fascinated by. There is a look, a walk, a strut. So they're out there and they are on the runways. They're on the covers of Vogue magazine. So there's no backseat anymore when it comes to full figured women in fashion.
Beautiful. How do we get more information about all of this and take a look at some of these ideas?
Well, you can check me out. I've got some wonderful mm-hmm. looks that I've revamped in the summers here. And take a look at my Instagram page for the latest. I've got some great visuals of what's going on in my collection and everything that we've discussed. And that is couture, couture underscore by underscore Alicia, ELES like Sam, IA.
Beautiful. Fantastic. She is she's quite a prolific designer, by the way. Check her out as well. And the bag collection is really something as well. So get into it. She seems to understand you and your body, and that's an important aspect of it. It's always great speaking to you. We'll do this again next season, I guess.
Absolutely, absolutely. And have a happy new year, as we always say.
Yes, and you too. Merry Christmas again.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you, Alicia. Thank you. Thank you. Here's a little interesting thing that has to do with the time of year. People are putting their pools together. We've been doing a series of interviews about pool water. I know. It's hard-hitting journalism on my part. I realize that. But nonetheless, you're kind of asking a lot of people to dip their ass into your drinking water is pretty much the bottom line for me. When I was growing up, I used to go to a neighbor's swimming pool. They had one, we didn't when I was growing up. And there was a sign next to the pool, and they thought they were being cute because it was like a funky looking sign, funky letters. And it said, "We don't swim in your toilet. Please don't pee in our pool." And even at that young age, I think it was like 9 years old, 8 or 9 years old, I could read, and I read that sign, and I said to myself, what kind of threat is that? Because to be honest with you, I can't think under any circumstance that I would go to your toilet and swim in it. How can you use that as an example? So the sign says, "We don't swim in your toilet, therefore don't pee in our pool." Well, you're welcome to swim in my toilet, first of all. I don't know how you'd fit, so the concept is kind of stupid. My toilet isn't a public place to be. If you want to stick your feet in it, go ahead. I mean, I don't care. So I peed in their pool. I mean, they threatened me. And believe me, it's a hell of a lot easier to pee in somebody's pool than it is to swim in their toilet. I've tried both. The pool's easier. Let's talk about that with the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, and find out what's really going on with the pool thing. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello. We have with us Dr. Henkin, and we have David and Carrie joining us as well. And we're talking about multiple sclerosis and the understanding and recognition thereof. How involved is this situation in our country? How many Americans are living with this?
About 400,000 Americans are living with multiple sclerosis today.
Okay, that's a lot. And what exactly what exactly is this disease?
MS is an illness that affects the nerves and the neurons, and it affects each patient differently because the symptoms are created based on where in the brain is actually affected by the disease. And so for this reason, when a person gets a diagnosis of MS, they often are left with a lot of questions. Are the symptoms going to be temporary or permanent? Are they going to be mild or severe? And for this reason, people who are diagnosed with MS often feel very isolated and alone when they first get the diagnosis. Partners or loved ones can also feel really uncertain and anxious really nervous about the future.
Okay. Now, Carrie and David, you decided to share your experiences with the public. Why are you doing this?
Well, for us, when I was first diagnosed, we dealt with a lot of fear. We didn't know a lot about MS, so we dealt with the fear of the unknown, not knowing what the future was going to hold.
Yes.
Our daughter was 11 months old at the time, and so we just really felt like there was a lot of things that we went through at first that we were able to work through helping each other. And in sharing our story with other people, we felt that maybe we could encourage them if they were at a point in their lives where they were kind of going through a similar situation.
Mm-hmm. How are we doing with research on this particular situation?
Research continues to leave us with a lot of unanswered questions. Mm-hmm. So while research is moving forward, we still don't know when someone's diagnosed exactly what their specific journey will be, and we don't know whether their illness will remain in the relapse stage or whether it'll continue to be progressive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, that's a reason that people feel a lot of anxiety, and that's a reason that people really need community. They need each other, and they need to hear stories such as my story that we will tell you a little bit about.
Okay. And you're asking other people to share their stories as well, I understand.
Absolutely. So My Story is an online platform where people can read people's stories that are already that have already shared stories, like Carrie and David, who you have here today. But they can also share their own story. And by hearing other people's stories, they can get hope and encouragement in their own journey. But also by sharing their stories, they can get a cathartic and therapeutic benefit and a little bit more perspective in dealing with their illness.
Yeah, I guess that one of the nice things about the internet and media is that people can connect with their situations and one doesn't feel like they're alone or they've been targeted. Why me and that kind of thing. And it also gives them some direction. So that's a positive thing, and that's what you're encouraging.
Absolutely. So as Carrie mentioned, you know, when you first get that diagnosis of MS, it can be really isolating and scary. But when you feel a part of a greater community when you're able to share your story and hear other people's stories. And Carrie has some really beautiful examples of that in her own life. Mm-hmm. Things look really different and things feel really different. And it creates a real relief from some of the anxiety that patients with chronic illness and specifically MS can carry.
Let me ask you, Carrie and David, do you focus on the positives, words of encouragement?
Yes. As a matter of fact, Ron, when Carrie was first diagnosed, I go back to that first month, and I remember it so well, so vivid. She was really depressed. I mean, mm-hmm. she really was having struggles in her health, and it really hit her hard.
Sure.
And I could just see that she was really hurting inside and just very depressed. And mm-hmm. and so I just got an idea. Something just came to me, and I said, let's go to a movie.
Yeah.
And there happened to be a movie at the time that was kind of a spoof on musicians. Carrie is a great – Carrie is a professional singer, and I'm a professional lead guitarist. So I said, let's go see this movie.
Yeah.
And she said, well, I don't feel like, she was depressed, blah, right. blah, blah. So we went to this movie.
Blah, blah, blah.
And I have to tell you, she laughed and she laughed. She was laughing so much that she was crying. When we got in the car, she said, thank you. I really, really needed this. And I thought, no, I'm not a doctor.
Yeah.
I'm not a nurse. But I have a part to play. There's something I can do. It's little. It might be small.
Uh-huh.
But even a doctor can't do that. A nurse can't do that.
Yeah.
I can do this because I love her. And I know her so well. And I have to tell you, just that little silly movie was, for that day, what the doctor ordered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I realized as a caregiver, there was something I could do. I had a part to play in this that I wanted to help her, but I wasn't sure how to go about it. Hey, I'm a musician. I'm a guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, even Ron, even today, even in our music programs, Carrie's a singer, as I said, and I play guitar.
Right.
Somehow we manage, even in our music programs, to talk about MS.
Yeah.
Or I'll just have her share maybe 1 or 2 minutes of her story.
Yeah.
And there's always someone out in the audience that it'll touch their lives.
Yeah.
And, well, I had MS. I had someone
that.
Yeah, and it's just reaching out and encouraging people has been what I would call the positive and the blessing part of this walk with MS.
And Bob, what you can see from that example is how powerful it is to see a story. In this case, they watched a movie, but basically they saw somebody else's story, and it made them laugh, and it connected them and created dialogue and hope for the future,
yes.
just amazing. Like my story can do for patients.
Right. It's interesting how we can have medicines and therapies and physical reactions, but sometimes your mental state and your attitude can actually be a healing thing. I know that sounds very, very cloud kind of stuff, but I think it's true. Yeah.
I've seen that time and time again with my patients and with the caregivers as well. That, it really is, a lot of it is about the attitude and how are you going to approach things. I mean, if you are really, really feeling down, you may not even follow your doctor's orders.
Right.
So, mental state and attitude is a really big part of the picture. And hearing and reading other people's stories and just like here, you've been laughing a little bit, hearing Carrie and David's stories, it is really uplifting and it's inspiring.
Yeah. So how can we find out more about this and getting involved?
Well, My Story is an online platform, and I'm really excited about it because it allows patients to go on there and read other people's stories. Also, caregivers, people impacted by MS, can read Carrie and David's stories and a whole bunch of other stories so that they can get hope and inspiration and tools for resilience in their own lives. And also, My Story allows people to create their own stories using some easy online resources and tools. And they can, once they create their story, they can either keep it for themselves and their loved ones, or they can share it with others.
Okay. And again, that website is?
mslifelines.com/mystory.
Perfect. It's been a pleasure speaking to all of you. Very uplifting and very important as well. So, Carrie, David, Dr. Hankin, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye. Okay. Hey, you've been wonderful through this entire experience. You really have been very, very patient. If I could hand out grill bots to everybody for free, I would, but I won't. By the way, the grill bot is $99.95. It's $100 for a robot to clean your grill. So you figure it out, which might be a little more cost-worthy. You spending like 15 seconds to take a brush and clean off your grill top, or to buy $100 of a colored robot. You figure it out. You're old enough to figure this out for yourself. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Until then, I wish you peace.